Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting from a very lonely Center for American Progress in downtown Washington, D.C. They all have off the week between Christmas and New Year's, but I'm still working. I will be here today and have a very special show tomorrow. Tomorrow will be my last show of the year. This year, I've been, of course, Mondays and Wednesdays. Tomorrow is Thursday, and starting next year, I'll be Mondays and Thursdays. But for those of you who know my other job, my non-radio job, the job I do as a state representative, as a delegate in the Virginia House of Delegates, you know that I'm gearing up to go down to the state capitol in Richmond, Virginia, to begin a very intense 2-3 months down there. I will be back on the air on radio in April. So until then, Leslie Marshall will fill my slot. Most of you know her and like her, and she'll be talking about all the national news. But I will not go away. I'll come back in April, the first Monday or Thursday in April. I don't even know when that is yet. But I do have one more special show tomorrow, which you should tune in for, and that'll be my year-end show as we talk about this crazy year, all the good, the bad, and the lots of ugly. But today is devoted to Virginia, and of course, Virginia is my home state. It is a state in which I am proud to represent the wonderful communities of Alexandria, Arlington, and Fairfax, mostly the city of Alexandria, but love my Arlingtonian and Fairfax constituents, in the Virginia House of Delegates. And if you're not a Virginian, you should probably still know that we have had a dramatic news this year. Truly dramatic news. I consider Virginia the tip of the spear heading right toward Donald Trump. In fact, after Virginia came Alabama. With Virginia came New Jersey and Washington State. Of course, New Jersey, Washington State are very blue states. Alabama's a very red state. Virginia is a purple state. I call it an indigo state. I guess like my sweater. We are purple with a tinge of blue, and getting a little bit bluer every single year. Most of you know we had a landslide election in Virginia in November 2017. Not only did we elect a Democratic governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general by a pretty wide margin, but we also did something really dramatic in the body in which I sit. I sit in the Virginia House of Delegates. The Virginia General Assembly consists of the Virginia Senate, the Virginia House of Delegates. The Virginia Senate does not have elections this year. They have elections every 4 years, so they'll have elections in 2 years. But we in the House of Delegates, like the House of Representatives, have elections every 2 years. There are 100 members of the Virginia House of Delegates, and currently the count is 49-49. If you add that up, that adds up to 98, and we're going to spend really this whole hour talking about the two missing seats. We'll get to those in just a minute. But first, you should know where we were. The Virginia House of Delegates, as of now, because the new delegates aren't sworn in until January, consists of 66 Republicans and 34 Democrats. That's actually a bit higher than it was. It used to be, before I was elected in 2015, that the Republicans had a two-thirds majority in the Virginia House of Delegates. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but wait, Mark, you just said Virginia was a purple state, nay, even an indigo state, a purple state with a tinge of blue. How can it be that Republicans had more than two-thirds of the seats in a state that is right on the cusp and really 1% or 2% towards the Democratic side? Well, I think you probably already know the answer. Of course, it's gerrymandering. The Republicans in 2011, following the 2010 census, designed the districts. Republicans controlled the House of Delegates. They controlled the governorship at that time, and they wrote the boundaries. And they drew the boundaries in ways that are very fair to them. And if you want to know how much gerrymandering helps, how much legislators choosing voters rather than voters choosing legislators makes a difference, well, just look at the Virginia House of Delegates. If you look at the overall vote count in the Virginia House of Delegates. Democrats got more than 1.3 million votes. The Republicans got about 1.1 million votes. The Democrats beat the Republicans by more than 200,000 votes. And in a total electorate of 2.4, 2.5 million, basically it was 9 percentage points, which actually makes sense when you look at it. Ralph Northam, the Democrat for governor, beat the Republican, Ed Gillespie, by about 9 or 10 points. So it only makes sense that in the House of Delegates, the margin was 54-46, probably closer to 55-45, about a 10-point margin, where 55% of Virginians voted for the Democrats. And we can argue about why that is. A lot of it has to do, I admit it, with what's going on in Washington. A lot of people wanted to give a message to Donald Trump. There were people who, frankly, didn't vote in 2016 and regretted it. And there are people who did vote for Trump in 2016 and regretted it. But in any case, had the districts been fairly drawn, had they been drawn to represent the people of Virginia instead of having been drawn to represent the Republicans who controlled the Virginia House of Delegates, we would have had 55 seats, maybe 56, maybe 54. I think Ralph Northam won 58 of the 100 seats. You know, we can argue about whether it be 54 or 58, 55. What it wouldn't be is where we are right now, 49-49. We are at a dead tie. And again, we only got to a tie because we had a massive blue wave. We had more Democratic support than the Commonwealth of Virginia has seen, I'd say, well, since I've lived here, since 2000. I don't think there's been any wave like this. There have been waves, not a wave like this. In fact, it's a wave so big that most observers think it presages the national wave. And obviously, next year we'll have a lot to talk about the 2018 midterms before they occur. I believe the elections of Virginia and Alabama and New Jersey and Washington State definitely presage a Democratic landslide in November 2018. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But in any case, this massive blue wave comes and hits the gerrymandering wall, but the wave is so strong that it just manages to crack the wall and get to the tip of the wall and drip, drip, drip on the other side. So who controls the Virginia House of Delegates? Good question. I have no idea. I still don't know. And the reason I don't know is there were four recounts. Two have been resolved, two pretty simple ones. One where our wonderful Democrat was behind by 106 votes. He got it down to two digits instead of three, but still lost. God bless you, Dante Tanner. You're a terrific candidate. And the Republicans challenged a district where they lost by 300 votes and just wasted everybody's time. Those two recounts are done. We're at 49-49. 49-49 in a 100-member House of Delegates. Now, obviously, this means that going into the new session, which begins on January 10th, 2018, and I'll be there. Check the news. I'll be right over there in the aisle seat, third row back. That means that we will either continue to have a minority, we Democrats, despite the blue wave, and be behind 51-49. That's quite possible. Or, shockingly, we could take the majority for the first time in a couple decades. First time since the 1990s, when, frankly, the Democratic Party wasn't the Democratic Party it is today. It was a mixture of conservatives and liberals back in the 90s. Today it would be a solid progressive Democratic Party. We could take the majority, 51-49. I'll talk about what that means, why it's so important to have the majority in the state legislature. It's, again, these lessons are beyond Virginia. They're important for people to understand in your own home state why a majority is so important. So we might get the majority for the first time in 20 years. The first, I would argue, progressive majority ever to exist in Virginia since the days of Reconstruction, since the days of the post-Civil War when Union troops basically forced Virginia to have a relatively progressive legislature for that time, including, I think, 15 or 20% African-American members at those days, people, some of whom were former slaves. It was a pretty dramatic time. And, of course, as soon as the federal troops left, the Virginians, most of whom supported the Confederacy, went back and took that state in dark Jim Crow directions. But we have the chance to have not a Democratic majority, not only a Democratic majority, but a progressive majority, which, again, Virginia really hasn't seen in anybody's memory. That would be exciting. Or there's the third alternative. Probably the most likely alternative, though we're going to go through the two undecided races. And that is, it could end up 50-50. In some ways, 51-49, whether it's controlled by Republicans or Democrats, is at least something we're used to. You know, we're used to having one party control the House. And they get to choose who's on committees. They get to choose the majority of the committees. In Virginia, and this is really stupid in my view, the majority party decides not just what members of the majority are on committees, they decide if the minority's on committees. Did you catch that? Again, it's really stupid. I worked in Congress. Now, in Congress, I worked on the House Judiciary Committee, Homeland Security Committee. I worked for Congressman Barney Frank. And what happens in Congress today is Paul Ryan, as you might expect, chooses the Republicans to sit on the various committees. They say what committee they want to be on. Paul Ryan, the leader of the Republicans, the Speaker, he chooses which Republicans are on committees. As for the Democrats, well, they go to Nancy Pelosi. She's the Democratic minority leader. And they go to her, and she decides, and someone says, I want to be on judiciary, or I want to be on agriculture, or I want to be on health, or any of the various committees in Congress. And that makes sense, because the leader of your party can help decide, you know, who has seniority and who's really good at this subject. And, you know, I would work well on a committee dealing with legal matters. I'm a lawyer. I went to some good law school, a very good law school. I know I've practiced law. Put me on agriculture, I'm less likely to know what I'm doing. I have to admit, I've never run a farm before. So there are certain committees that people are better for. Well, believe it or not, and I always found this crazy for the moment I got there because I was used to the United States Congress. In Virginia, under the current rules, the majority, the Speaker of the House, picks not just his party's seats on committee, he picks the majority's. He picks the minority's seats on committees. And no, that doesn't make any sense. And it's not fair. And it actually didn't used to be that way. Back when the Democrats were in charge, back when there was a time when actually each party got to choose their own people to be on committees. And that time went away. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. If they're ahead 51-49, there's supposed to be proportional representation. I guess that means if that happens, Democrats will have one seat less than Republicans on committees. Still better than we were before, but not as good, certainly, as 50-50 or 51-49. If we're in charge, are we going to pick who they sit on committees? You know, I don't know. Will we be more fair to them than they've ever been to us? Should we be? I'm not sure. I guess we'll cross those bridges if we come to it. This is all above my pay grade. But the really interesting scenario, the one that everybody's talking about, is what if it ends up 50-50? And, you know, I could pull out my Virginia Constitution, and I can see very clearly what happens if the Virginia Senate is 50-50. It's very simple. The Lieutenant Governor of Virginia breaks the tie. Boom. Very easy to resolve. And in the House of Delegates, to break a tie, what does the Virginia Constitution say about that? That's what it says. Nothing. There are no rules. And if we don't get 51 members to pick a speaker, we could sit in that chamber all day and all night and get no business done if the vote keeps going 50-50, 50-50. So that's really interesting in and of itself. And then, I haven't even gotten to these, but I'm going to get to it in this hour. There are the two races, one in the Newport News area of Virginia, one in the Fredericksburg area of Virginia. There are two races that are undecided still to this day. After the recounts, they're still undecided. And there's all kinds of legal machinations going on, and I'll explain them all to you if you'll stay tuned till right after the break. If you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the drama in my home state, in Virginia. We had a massive blue wave. I think everyone knows that, on November 7th. And that massive blue wave hit the wall of the gerrymandered Virginia House of Delegates and led to a standoff. What happens when the irresistible force hits the immovable pole? A lot of drama. That's where we are. A lot of drama. So, 49 Democrats, 49 Republicans, two seats that are still undecided. As I said, what happens in these seats, and we're going to get to the specifics in just a few minutes, but I want you to understand what this matters for Virginia. The difference between 51-49 Democrats and 51-49 Republicans is enormous. It's amazing. We were, we had 34 seats. So picking up 15 seats and getting to 49 was definitely dramatic. But in terms of the future of Virginia, two more seats actually means more than the 15 we got. Love the 15 we got, but that just brought it. You know that if you watch sports, right? You can be 30 points behind, and if you catch up 29 points, it's not quite the same as if you catch up 30 or 31, right? As if you tie or win the game. It would be important. We would have more representation on committees. It's still more likely to get progressive legislation through. I happen to believe, actually, Virginia is going to pass Medicaid expansion this year. And that's I would have been considered crazy if I had said that 3 months ago. But I really do. Even if we only have 49, I think we can get a Republican or two in the House and one in the Senate. I actually think it's possible. Frankly, if you're a fiscal conservative, you don't want to throw away billions of dollars that Virginians have already spent. It's ridiculous that we don't use it now. So things like that can go through. But if we got 51, if we got a majority in the House, and 2019, a majority in the Senate, well, then we could pass some serious gun safety legislation. We could pass some very serious legislation to do things like paid family medical leave or raise the minimum wage or all kinds of progressive things that I and my colleagues support. Because as I said, this would truly be historic. It wouldn't just be a Democratic majority. We had those in Virginia back in the, most of the 1900s. It would be a progressive majority. Because my colleagues, I'm proud to say my fellow Democrats, they're all pretty progressive. We used to have a conservative or two in the caucus before I joined. Not anymore. So Virginia can be a great laboratory for democracy. So what's holding it up? Well, as I said, 49-49, there are two races that remain undecided. And they're both interesting in their own ways. Both the legal case around it is very interesting. The politics around it is very interesting. In the first case, the one you've probably read the most about in the news, this is Shelley Simons. She represents a district down in the southeast of Virginia, a Newport News area, a wonderful community. That's the one where did she win by one vote? Was it a tie? I'll give you the details after the break. But then there's the other race, which in some ways is, well, at least as interesting. In some ways, it's actually more interesting. That's the race in Fredericksburg, Virginia. This is the seat, it's the 28th House District, that used to be the seat of the current Republican Speaker of the House. And in this race, dozens of people cast a vote they weren't legally allowed to cast, and it was counted. And many more other people were denied the right to vote. Sounds crazy, but I'll explain after the break. Call in if you like, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Going to talk in this next half hour about the two undecided Virginia races, one for Democrat Shelley Simons in Newport News and the other for Democrat Josh Cole in Fredericksburg. And both of them are as convoluted as you can imagine, really testing the limits of the law and of politics. And, of course, the winner of both, if Democrats win both races, we control the Virginia House of Delegates. If Republicans win both races, they control the Virginia House of Delegates. And if it's split, it gets even more messy as we try to figure out who's in charge. Before I get to those details, though, I want to take a caller. This is Anthony on line 4 in San Diego, California. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
How you doing, Mark?
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. I want to say that if Alabama can do it, Virginia can do it too.
Well, we know we can do it in Virginia. We, like I said, Alabama's a red state. We're a purple slash indigo state. We did it at the polls. The question now is, will the courts allow the will of the people to happen or not? And that's what I'm going to talk about. You know, given the gerrymandering, it's really hard, even with this blue wave. We had a 10% victory, and we're just, you know, lapping at a tie. And that just tells you the power of gerrymandering.
Oh, okay. Well, I believe, you know, y'all will be able to do it, though. I feel really strong about it. Because I believe, you know, people have learned their lesson after a year of Trump, you know.
I appreciate it, Anthony. I think so, too. I think there were a number of – if you ask me why Hillary Clinton didn't win in 2016, and Jim Comey absolutely is the reason, and, yeah, Vladimir Putin absolutely is the reason, and all of that. But the heart of it was because of – Comey and the Russians and everything else. I think a lot of people on our side just didn't vote. They didn't come out in the numbers they did for President Obama. And it was just the margin, but the margin matters. I mean, she did win, after all, the popular vote by a hefty 3 million votes. But a bunch of young people didn't show up. And I think Virginia has shown that that's been reversed. In fact, I want to give a shout out to millennial voters because they came out in massive numbers in Virginia. And frankly, in Alabama as well. And I think what it shows is if the Democratic Party reaches out to young people, to millennials, to people in their 20s, and make sure that they're registered to vote and make sure that, you know, they know there's an election going on, they're our future. Millennials, by the way, some two-thirds all across the nation support Democrats over Republicans. The older voters, the ones who vote more often, are likely not as supportive, frankly, more Republican than Democratic at the older, at 50s, 60s, 70s. So young people are our future. I don't think they came out to vote in 2016. They did vote in 2017, and that just reminds us what we as a party have to do. We've got to engage the next generation. Thanks for your call, Anthony. I appreciate it. So let's talk about these two Virginia races that are yet undecided. The first one is the one that's gotten all the press. And that one, in some ways, well, it's a more normal one, if as it were. Shelley Simons ran against the current incumbent delegate, Yancey, in the Newport News area. And as of the end of Election Day, when they did the unofficial count, she was behind by 10 votes. Now, that's very, very close in a race that has more than 23,000 votes. A 10-vote margin in 23,000 votes, just roughly doing the math, it's not 1%, it's not a tenth of 1%, it's less than half of a tenth of 1% difference. And on Election Day, the machines, we have paper ballots in Virginia. By the way, that's something I fought for. I fought really hard because I believe in paper ballots. I don't trust electronic machines that don't spit out a paper ballot. And one of the bills that I put forward, actually my very first year that got rolled into another bill, is to require all of Virginia to have paper ballots. So thank God we have those. But the paper ballots, they work when you fill out one oval for one candidate. They don't work so well if you fill out no ovals or you fill out two ovals. And the vast majority of people fill out their ballots right, but a few don't. And so some people might write the name instead of filling out the oval. Some people might fill out two ovals and then make emphatically clear that they support one over the other. And that's why you need a hand recount. And they had a hand recount, and this would have been a week ago today, I believe. They had a hand recount in Newport News, maybe it was the 19th, and the Republicans and Democrats got together, and they agreed on the very strict ways they would do the recount. They would follow the list as put forward by the Virginia State Board of Elections, explaining what counts and what doesn't count. They would only have one determination for every precinct, because that's what Virginia law says. Virginia law is very clear. It says you go through precinct by precinct. And Virginia law describes how at the end of each precinct, you count up the votes for each side, and you put aside votes that are disputed. And votes that are disputed, or the law uses the word questioned, votes that are questioned are put aside, and that's for the court to decide. But if all Republicans and all Democrats there look at all the ballots and they agree on who voted for whom, and these ballots are for Yancey, and these ballots are for Simons, and these ballots we can't count because there's no vote or because there's an overvote, and they put them in three piles. pile for Simons, pile for Yancey, and a pile that's going to go to the court. And a pile that all agree can't be counted. Actually, four piles. So they did this for each and every precinct, and they would do that. They'd finish a precinct, and it turns out in this precinct there were no ballots contested, no challenges for the court. Republicans and Democrats agreed on every single one. They'd wrap it up, put it in the box, put it aside, open up the next box. Look at that. So many for Simons, so many for Yancey. See, these votes can't be counted. We can't tell who they voted for. Are there any disputed for the court? No. And they went through each and every precinct. And if you followed that very dramatic day, you saw that Shelley Simons gains a vote here. She gains a vote there. Yancey gains a vote there. Simon gains a couple votes there. And they go precinct by precinct, and the margin shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. 10-vote margin, 9-vote margin, 7-vote margin, 5-vote margin. Oops, Yancey got a couple. 7-vote margin, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then they're tied, and they open up that last box, and there's a vote there for Simons that wasn't counted, and bingo, Shelley Simons wins by one vote. Now, you might say, well, okay, but how many votes were set aside to be contested by the courts? Answer, zero. None. The good people of Newport News, the Republicans and the Democrats, agreed on each and every vote. See, one of the nice things about paper ballots, as distinct from, those chads that you might remember in Florida in 2000, is it's kind of easy to see who the voter wanted, right? It's really, there weren't that many votes that they disagreed on. In fact, there were zero. Each and every precinct, they counted so many for Simons, so many for Yancey, so many that can't be, a few that we can't determine who they voted for. And how many for the court? None. 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 At the end of the entire day, all the votes were counted. Shelley Simons had won by one vote. Republicans and Democrats all signed saying, we agree. This was a fair process. We agree that we went by the process. It was fair. We went through every precinct. We found no contested votes. And it's all done. There's nothing to contest. Now, had there been votes to contest, they would have been set aside to go to the court the next day. But the Republicans agreed that there were no votes to contest. The Democrats agreed there were no votes to contest. And so you may have seen in the news, Washington Post, New York Times, Virginia newspapers, everyone talked about the incredible, exciting conclusion. Shelley Simons had won by one vote. And all of our, she was, as our colleague, Delegate-elect Simons, we just called her Landslide Shelley because we knew that the one vote was... a pretty wonderful and, unusual conclusion. But every vote counted. She won by one vote. And we were very thrilled. And all we were waiting for was the court the next day to put the rubber stamp on it. And indeed, they had to, because Virginia law is very clear. The court doesn't have jurisdiction to consider anything but questioned ballots. And if you don't set something aside, if it's not questioned, the court has nothing to do but just, rubber stamp and agree, because... if you don't have anything in dispute, this is true of the law, by the way, on lots of things. Courts only handle disputes. They don't handle where you agree. Where both sides agree, not only do courts not want to be involved, they have no power to be involved. They don't have the power to be involved because where the parties agree, they agree. And it's got nothing to do with the case. And courts often set aside where everybody agrees just to focus on where they disagree. Again, this is very common. This happens in the laws of all 50 states. So, Democrats were excited. Shelley Simons won. We were ahead 50-49. We still weren't sure about what's going to happen in Fredericksburg, but we were thrilled, and we were all saluting Landslide Shelley Simons. And then the next day, before the court, minutes before the hearing, where the judges had nothing to do but simply say, "Yep, everyone agrees that there's no dispute," the Republicans changed their mind. They knew they'd lost by a vote. So one of them remembered that maybe there was a ballot that maybe they could bring in, one that this observer agreed and signed and said, "I agree, I have no challenge to this ballot." And the law says that you cannot have a redetermination of the ballot after you've signed on to it. The law specifically says there's only one redetermination. In other words, there's the recount. If you dispute it, fine, but if you don't, it's over. He said, "Yeah, I don't want it to be over." Shelley Simons won by one vote. I don't like the final result. So even though the law specifically says you do this precinct by precinct, they do it for a reason. I want you to think about the reason. The reason's very clear. If you could wait until it's all over and see whether your candidate won or lost and then try to jerry-rig the system, then everyone would keep coming back, right? So this was the Warwick precinct. Everyone agreed what the votes were, and they went on to, they closed that box, they sealed it up, they put it away, they didn't separate anything for the courts. So this guy then comes in and says, I want you to redo it over again. Don't do the whole recount over. No. If you do the whole recount over, Democrats might find more votes for Shelly Simons. No. Just recount this one vote. So even though the law says the court can't do this, the court nevertheless went in to that box, opened up the seal, found a ballot that wasn't separated from the others, just mixed in with the others because it was put down as a no votes cast. And it was just with the no vote pile. Found a ballot where, and it's a messed up ballot. In fact, you really should take a look if you haven't seen it on the news. It's a ballot where the voter voted for both Shelly Simons and David Yancey. Both ovals are full. Now there's a slash, there's a line through Shelly Simons' ballot. And you might say, well, the court said that that line means they didn't want Shelly Simons, they wanted David Yancey, which has no line through it. So there's a little circle in the bottom right of that. Don't know what that means. Little like a line with a like a little loop in it. But the same voter voted for the governor, voted for Ed Gillespie, and in addition to the oval, had an X, had two slashes. So the court came to the and didn't vote for anyone else. So this is a guy who, when he slashes twice, he means he wants to support someone or a woman. We really don't know who the voter is. But one slash means no, and two slashes means yes, and no slashes means yes. That's the conclusion the court came to. Now, this conclusion has no basis in law. It has no basis in the State Board of Elections, which set out the clear standards. But it was enough of a basis for them to give that ballot that was uncontested by Republicans on day one to give that ballot to David Yancey to call it a tie. And with that tie, the fate of the 94th District and the fate of the House of Delegates of Virginia, indeed the fate of Virginia, will be determined by lot, by randomness, coin flip, picking a name out of a hat. And that was actually going to happen today, but the Democratic lawyers are going back. They're making the arguments that you heard me make right now. You can actually read their briefs, arguing that actually if everyone agrees that a result is valid, you can't go back and change your mind after everyone signs off on the dotted line and agrees to it and ask for a recount of the recount. Because if you could do that, the Democrats, who, by the way, tried to do the same thing, as soon as they found out what the Republicans were doing, they said, well, wait, we want to go back in the boxes. You got a recount of the recount. You wanted to go back on what you agreed to. Let us do the same thing. And the court said, no, I'm going to let Republicans recount the recount, but I won't let Democrats recount the recount. That, I think, is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. Indeed, it's specifically a violation of the only ruling in Bush v. Gore. Very interesting case. I don't know where it's going to lead. The Democratic lawyers are going back to ask the court to reconsider its decision, and you'll have to stay tuned to the news to see what happens. Will Shelly Simons win, which I think is the legal obligation, or will it be determined by lot, by a coin flip? Stay tuned, and we'll find out. When I come back, I want to talk about what's in some ways an even more interesting race, what happened in Fredericksburg, Virginia, when a registrar who's no longer alive put hundreds of voters in the wrong district.
Yes, what?
It's crazy, and I'll give you the details right after the break. 888-488-MARK if you want to call in, 888-488-6275. Welcome to the glorious mess that is the Virginia recount. Back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. There's one more race in Virginia that's, believe it or not, even more crazy than the Shelly Simons David Yancey race in Newport News, and that's the race in Fredericksburg, Virginia, to take the seat of the current Speaker of the Virginia House, the Republican Bill Howell, who retired this year. It's a seat, frankly, that, well, we didn't see coming. We didn't think that our Democratic candidate, Josh Cole, had a chance. He's a very young man. I think he's in his late 20s. He's an African-American preacher. And Josh surprised us all. He fought very hard, and he kind of rode the top of the blue wave. And when the votes were counted, it turns out that he's behind by 73 votes. So you might say, well, okay, he got really close, but he didn't quite make it. 73 votes, the Republican gets to sit there. But that's not all the story. You see, the registrar in that county, in that area, misassigned hundreds of voters. It was complicated. There was a precinct. The Republicans had gerrymandered it very weirdly, and maybe she just made a mistake. We can't ask her why she did what she did because she's no longer with us. Yes, she died this year. But she misassigned, we know, more than 300 voters. I've seen some news reports that suggest it's 400 or 500 voters. She put them in the wrong categories. And the upshot of all of this is that we know for a fact that in that recount, in that final count, which shows the Republican beating Josh Cole by 73 votes, in that final count, we know for a fact that at least 61 votes are fraudulent, are false, are illegal, are wrong. Now, again, it's not the voters' fault. I mean, they were told by the registrar they could vote in this election. The registrar was wrong. But notwithstanding it, these are fraudulent ballots. These are false ballots. It's like stuffing the ballot box with 61 ballots, and we don't know who they voted for. We can't segregate them. They're wrong. Well, you might say, okay, but the margin was 73. What do the 61 false ballots have to do with anything? Well, because we also know that at least 86 people were denied the right to vote. This is actually a more serious crime, I would argue, than even stuffing the ballot box. I guess it's equally serious, maybe worse, particularly after all we fought for in the civil rights era, fighting for people to vote. 86 Virginians did nothing wrong. They registered to vote. They were duly registered. They were lawfully registered. They showed up at the polls on election day. They started to vote, and they were given the wrong ballot. Some of them complained. In one case, it's a husband and a wife live in the same home. They were given two different ballots. And the wife said, well, wait a minute. I get to vote too, not just my husband. And they said, no, you don't. But we live in the same house. Sorry, you have to vote in this other race. And then, just because you can't make this stuff up, our Democratic candidate, Josh Cole, was running in one race. In the race that they gave them the ballot for, the wrong race, that included a Republican named Mark Cole, C-O-L-E, same spelling. If you went in to vote for Cole, instead of voting for the Democrat Josh Cole, you voted for the Republican Mark Cole in the other precinct. The upshot of all of this is that 86 people, at least, there may be more, at least 86 people were denied the right, forcibly kept from voting for the person they wanted to. Meanwhile, 61 ballots were thrown in the ballot box that shouldn't be there. Added up, it's 147 votes cast or not cast that should have been. That could change the tally by 147, and the margin is less than half that, 73. So who won in the 28th House District? Got me. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. The one thing everyone can agree on, Republicans and Democrats, we all agree that the vote count they have now has to be inaccurate. It's got to be inaccurate. It's got to have 61 votes that shouldn't be there, and it doesn't have 86 votes that should be there. This is going up before a federal court on January 5th, and the only fair result is to have another election to let the voters decide who should represent them and who should control the Virginia House of Delegates. This is Mark Levine. See you tomorrow. Signing off for now.